Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 13 and verse 9. Prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 13 and verse 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. We spoke at Blunsden on Sunday from the sixth verse. What are these wounds in thy hand? And our heart was drawn to this last text, this last verse of this chapter, in connection with the context. The context is the previous verses. And when we read, I'll bring the third part through the fire, we are also reading that he himself has passed through the fire. What are these wounds in thy hands? These are the wounds which I receive, says Christ, in the house of my friend. That is, in the house of the election of grace. Wounded by the church. Wounded for the church. Wounded because of the church and the church's sin. Wounded because of the election of grace. These were the wounds he received in the house of his friends. They were for his friends. Call you not servants, I call you friends. For the words of Christ. He told them all things. And it is as though the church is asking this. What are these wounds? They're for you. They're the wounds I received when I died, that my people might reach glory. Then we hear the voice of the Father in heaven. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my equal. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And we see here the blessed truth of the words of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we see the opening of the truth in the counsels of eternity past, that the Lord Jesus Christ came here into this world to die for sinners. What are described here as wounds in the house of his friend, those whom he had eternally loved and ordained to glory, those whom he came to gather out of time into eternity to worship him before his throne, those whom he had eternally loved. And to do that, the Father speaks, awake, O sword. The sword of God's divine wrath and justice against the sins of his dear people. This is the context of the words before us. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little one. And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Solemn. But the third part shall be left. Oh, how we see it upon the cross. One thief was saved. One thief was lost. Two parts shall be cut off and die. That is eternally lost forever, cast into a never-ending eternity. But one part shall be left, saved, redeemed. It is in this blessed context we come to the opening words of our text. I will bring the third part. The Lord Jesus Christ here speaks with power. He speaks in love. He speaks in his divine will. Father, I will. Those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I'll bring the third part through the fire. And all here we see in the context that these words are spoken by one who himself has passed through the fire of Calvary. Passed through the fire of the wrath of Almighty God against the sins of his church. Who he himself was made a propitiation for their sins. That is, one who bore the wrath of his Father against their sins. Awake, O sword, against my the shepherd and against the man that is my equal. Here we see the Trinity. Man that is my equal. Here we see the eternal Son of God incarnate coming here into this world. The one that is my fellow. And here he comes into this world to die. And the purpose, I will bring the third part through the fire. I thought when this word was upon my mind of that word in the New Testament, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. Strange, not strange in this respect. Our captain stood the fiery test. We shall stand through him. Oh, the Lord is going to bring his dear church, this third part that is left. He's going to bring them in everlasting loving kindness through the fire. No chastening, we're told, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but rather grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that exercise thereby. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The fire is not the fire of hell. The fire is not the eternal wrath of God that will destroy forever. The fire is the refiner's fire. That is the chastening fire. And the Lord said, think it not strange. Because he himself has gone this way, and he calls his dear church to walk through the fire, and he said, I'll bring them through the fire. We have many examples of God's dear church brought through the fire. When we go back through the scriptures and see his dear saints who came through the fire to heaven. Abel came through the fire to heaven, hated by his brother Cain, murdered by him. Noah came through the solemn fire of iniquity of his day as the Lord dealt with the whole human race about him and spared him. Showing him how to escape that awful wrath of God against mankind. There's a lovely word in the Proverbs, I believe it is, regarding the remnant that are left. Thou bindest the floods from overflowing. His remnant are not swept away by the flood. And Noah wasn't. And his family. He was instructed in an ark. And was preserved by it. When the Lord brought his dear servant Jonah through the fire of his wrath, he prepared a way of escape in that furnace of his anger. Even the whale. And you know, it was a very lovely coming together of Jonah and Christ, as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. For the Lord's purpose is to bring his dear children through the fire. He has gone before them through that fire. He was tempted in all points, like as they are yet without sin. He has walked this earth. It was to him who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, who took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, wherever it behoved him in all points to be made like unto his brethren. And in doing so, he walked through a solemn fire. And you know, he watches over his dear children as he brings them through those fires of darkness and temptation in this world, the solemn fires of the trial of their faith, the solemn fires of sorrows that he lays upon them, wounds that they receive in the house of their friends. The Lord brings them through. I will bring, he says, the third part through the fire. We think of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, how literally, physically, God brought them through a fire. A solemn fire of hatred and malice to their faith. A solemn fire of conscience as they stood for the truth's sake. God enabled them to stand. And they entered the fire, cast in vengeance, because they would not bow to the idol. But you know, the Lord brought them through the fire, and the only way you and I'll ever come through our fires, and they're many and great, they're appointed of God, they don't come by chance, but the only way we shall ever pass through them will be as Jesus is with us in the fire, as he was with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. That is the only way we shall ever come through these fires. This word is a promise to the church of God, to the members of his body, that he who himself passed through the unutterable fiery furnace of Gethsemane and Calvary, will himself, who has walked the way, bring his dear church through. And he went that way, tempted in all points like as she is, that is the church, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest, and that he might be touched with the feeling of her infirmity. Lovely word. Only as the Lord has passed this way was he made perfect through suffering, and in that made a merciful and a faithful high priest. It behoved him in bringing many sons unto glory, that is God the Father, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. One there is above all others well deserves the name of friend. He has walked this way, and he will bring the third part through the fire. What a blessed word this is. Bring. The connotation seems to be, as I understand it, carry. Certainly, take them through and take them out, that they might be like those three men in the furnace, they came forth without so much the smell of burning upon them. There's a purpose in the fire, that we might walk with him and have a measure of fellowship with him in the sufferings he passed through for us. When he calls us into the fires of sorrow, remember this, in that lovely chapter of the 53rd of Isaiah, he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, who his own self bore our sins in his own body amidst all his sorrow and his suffering. Surely, says the prophet, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, he has. In that he has gone the way of sorrows himself. Entered into that pathway where they all forsook him and fled. That seems to lie in that word. What are these wounds in thy hand? The wounds I received in the house of my friend from my dear disciples when they all forsook me and fled. There's much more to it than that. But that is one aspect of it. That was one of the wounds that were in his dear body, in his dear soul. He was wounded, we read, for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Here it is. I will bring the third part through the fire. This same Jesus who walked this earth now in heaven as that merciful and faithful high priest who lives to intercede on behalf of his dear church, whom it is said it became him to be made like unto his brethren. There was something necessary about it. It became him. In bringing many sons unto glory, became him. And we see it here, that the Lord walked this way for that very reason, that he might bring the third part through the fire, feelingly to enter into their pathway as they walk in the fiery furnace of his dealings with them, that they might approach in understanding as led by the Spirit revealed in their hearts, to some measure of fellowship with him in his suffering, and to catch a glimpse that if he leads them in that fire, it is that they might have fellowship with him. The only way to have fellowship with Jesus in his suffering is to pass a God-ordained way into the fire as led by him and brought there, that we might there in the fire, in the furnace, have fellowship with him in his suffering. Not something we shall ever do ourselves. God orders the footsteps of his dear people. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and well, we might say, they lead to the fire. He does it in love, and he does it with a purpose. That there in the fiery furnace they might walk with Jesus and have precious fellowship with him and catch a glimpse of the way he went for them. I will bring, the Lord speaks as he did in Gethsemane's garden, Father, I will. I have walked this way. My flock is going to walk the same way. They're going to go down into the valley and there learn of me. Lovely word, you know, in the Psalm 23rd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't take that necessarily to mean natural death. It can be the valley of the shadow of death of all your hopes. of all your peace in this world. Death can be put upon your life and circumstances, and you can be brought into a veil of sorrows, which to you is death. A bitter cup is put in the hands often of God's dear children to walk out. Yea, though I walk, said the dear psalmist. David knew the bitter, fiery furnaces in his youth. In his youth he walked in the veil of sorrow. What a bitter cup was put in his hand. Joseph did exactly the same. In his youth, as a lad of 17, the Lord took him into the valley of the shadow of death. Sent away, sold into slavery, despised, hated by a jealous brother. Cast out, forgotten, but not of his father. But you know, God does do this. Calls his dear church to walk through this valley of the shadow of death. It's a ground in which the Lord trains them, hardens them as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. They're brought to endure hardness. They're brought to learn of him. This is the way he will bring them. And mark this, he's going to bring them through the fire. They're not going to die in it. They often think they may be brought to their end under a furnace of sorrow. Furnace of affliction. It may be in body, in health, in circumstances. My mind goes to the thorns in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh that the Lord gave to his servant the apostle Paul. Never left him for the rest of his day. And in that fiery furnace, the Lord took him through with that precious promise which was his forever. My grace is sufficient for thee. I wonder what thorns in the flesh some of you are carrying tonight. God's dear children carry thorns in the flesh. There would have been no use the apostle Paul writing as he did if they didn't. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And the Lord traces out and delineates the footsteps of the flock. They include solemn thorns in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet him. But in it was their bringing through. And the bringing through was via the giving of the precious promise. My grace is sufficient for thee. And then the sacred wisdom to bow under it. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmity. Why? That the power of Christ might rest upon me. This is what the servant of God desired under his cross, under his thorn in the flesh. He had such an understanding of it. The messenger of Satan to buffet him, but the Lord was going to use it to his benefit. And he was brought to bow under it like a yoke, not to fret against it, but to see it as the hand of God. And know that in that thorn in the flesh, the power of Christ will rest upon him and enable him to go forth and out of weakness to be made strong. To know that he was mighty in the presence of the mighty God of Jacob, who was his help and who had promised he would never leave him nor forsake him. I'll bring the third part through the fire. Human nature doesn't like it. Human nature would avoid the fire. God doesn't tell us where the fire is going to come or when. Left to ourselves, we would take steps to go another way. I'll give you an example of it. God led ancient Israel by a cloudy pillar. Where did he take them? Not along the coast road to Israel. Straight to the Red Sea, into trouble. What a strange pillar. But it was the hand of God. laid them up against an absolute impossibility. And they halted there, surrounded by the presence of God in their trouble. Pillar before and the fire behind, and there they halted. And there we have such a lovely sight of Moses. Oh, the beauty of the words he uttered in that hour, as under the hand of his God, he led the way. And there before that impossibility, that fire to him, shut up in the hands of God. And in that fire, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. What was in his heart? You know, I've often commented on this because it has been very precious to me. What was in his heart? The Lord shows us what was in his heart. The Lord said, why criest thou unto me? There he was saying, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What did he then do? He wrestled with God in prayer in this fiery furnace. Bring me through. Honour me in the eyes of ancient Israel. Stand up for me now in this hour. I need thee. Why criest thou unto me? Command the children of Israel they go forward. Lovely words, you know. How was the answer of his prayer? The man who had stood at the burning bush and said he was couldn't speak now went forward to the Red Sea. Oh, the faith. And raised his staff and the waters parted. And what a fire. They went through and there the other side they stood and looked as the Egyptians were drowned in the flood. And then he could rejoice. And then he had the sweet experience, you know. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. He stood on the shores of the Red Sea with a glorious hope in his God. Experience was before his very eyes. What have you got in your experience of coming through a fire? God gives fire. He can give fires in the life and soul to his dear church. The fire of weakness. The fire of temptation. Oh, how I've known it in my life. Years of a fiery furnace of weakness and temptation. But is it? Precious promises that have never been taken from me. Promises I've had to use in preaching the gospel. Promises that lie at the root of my ministry as I speak of him, as Moses could speak of him. I will bring the third part through the fire. They'll profit by the fire. Spiritually, they will benefit from the fire. I think of Job and the way the Lord brought him. I think of Jeremiah and the way the Lord brought him. A life of sorrow and persecution. A life of the most bitter cup the Lord could put in his hand. His life began in sorrow and ended in sorrow. Strange, you know, that some of those prophets, their footsteps, are identical at the beginning and the end. There's no improvement. I'll give you one example. Jonah began his book in anger and he ended it in anger. His poor fallen human nature hadn't changed. He'd said salvation was of the Lord, but he still out came all his anger. And when we look at these dear men of God, Jeremiah, oh, the life of sorrow. No prophet in his ministry. And died in Egypt. But God was honoured. Oh, how we see the mercy of God in the life of Jonah. And how we see the blessedness of God in the life of Jeremiah. Something sacred about the fiery furnace of his whole life. dear friend of mine just passed away, and a few months ago, in the midst of all her sorrows, she said, I dwell with Jeremiah and Job. I'll bring the third part through the fire. And what is the Lord going to do? I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. We read in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, we read of the work of God in the soul of a man. And we read of that solemn, light, empty, useless profession, wood, hay, stubble. We equally read of that gold, silver, and precious stone. When I come to speak of this, my mind goes, perhaps you remember him, to dear old Harvey Carr of Chippenham. Who was a gold and silversmith in Sheffield in his day. I remember him well. In my youth, the love that pervaded the ministry that he preached, the savour and sweetness, tenderness, gentleness of that dear man of God. I remember some of the stories he used to tell. He was the one minister, when I was young, as a child of 12, 13, I used to sit and listen to. Many people used to say, oh, he keeps repeating himself. I used to hear the adults saying that, but it didn't worry me in the slightest. I liked to hear the precious stories he could tell over and over again. He could tell them as often as he liked. I could listen and listen. One of the stories he used to tell was of his work as a refiner. And he used to speak in great detail of the refining furnace, and how it worked on the gold and silver, and the dross that came to the surface and had to be cleaned off, and the pure metal, how it shone. And isn't this what lies at the roots of this lovely text? God is working in the hearts of his dear church. In the silver and gold, he has named it. It's the real work of God in the soul. It's the living work of a living God in a living member of his body. And he has said that he will refine them. And he'll try them. What is he doing? In refining, he is getting rid of the dross. And in trying, he is making certain it is gold. Gold in the furnace tried near loses all but dross. So is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. And the Lord is going to put his people through the furnace to see whether they are silver and gold. Wood, hay and stubble go to ashes in a second. Oh, how solemn to have a religion which in the furnace of death is burnt to nothing. How vital, essential that we have a religion that will stand the fiery furnace of death. I tell you, the only religion that will stand that is one of whom God himself is what we read in the Epistle to the Ephesians. Ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, and his spiritual works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them. Oh, how the fiery furnace of God's justice and wrath and anger will manifest a child of God. Because when the Lord's wrath and anger comes down, it is not to destroy, it is to refine, it is to try. And when he chastens his dear people, his living family will not be consumed. I remember going with my father some many years ago now to see a dying woman brought up in our chapels. Used to attend Stony Naps near Chard. Long gone, that little church is, but that's where she attended and was brought up. Her sister was a very godly woman who was a member at the Bournemouth church, Amos Hodder. But you know, this woman, brought up in our churches, the Lord took her husband and her only daughter, her only child, within a year, and left her a widow. And she very ill. And I went to see her with my father. I never forget that scene. Her words were these: if there is a God, he must be an awful God to deal with me like this. All the anger that she manifested against God. How different to Job under his fiery furnace. When the Lord dealt with him and afflicted him in body and soul and family. And what did he say? Oh, the manifest goal the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's only grace, divinely given, can ever bring a poor fallen creature to that place to bow beneath the hand of God. When the Lord brought Hezekiah down in his health, and to the very doors of death, to wrestle with his God in that fiery furnace, then he could speak, by these things men live. As a crane or a swallow, he said, so did I chatter. But he added this, by these things men live. And in all these things, these fiery furnaces, is the life of my spirit. Oh, what gold. And the psalm we read, what a psalm. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, what gold in those precious words. And you know, when we look at the end of the life of Job in that last chapter, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That was the substance of his fire when he came out of it. And in it, what did he get? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though worms destroy this body, that was the profit of his affliction. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. God's dear servant was profited by his affliction. He was benefited by his cross. His thorn in the flesh was good to his soul. And he walked in sweet fellowship with his God. But now we come to the last part of this. They shall call upon my name and I will hear them. Very beautiful, you know. Precious promise. The fire will make them call upon my name. The fire will bring them to wrestle with me. When Jacob wrestled at Jabbok, what a fire he was in. The fire was this. Of his own ordering, he'd done it himself. His brother would never be coming to kill him unless he had dealt with him as he did. So, the guilt was his. What could he plead? Only the promise God gave him when he fled from his home. And that, we believe, he pleaded at Bethel, to Jabbok, the promise of Bethel. And there he wrestled with his God. And there at the break of day, he came to that point in wrestling. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And that lovely word, he blessed him there. They shall call upon me. and I will answer them. Oh, what do you know about God answering you? Precious promise. I will answer them. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me, said dear Jonah. You see, the rich man in hell uttered his first prayer. Unanswerable. Unanswerable. What a solemn thing. He uttered his first prayer in hell. Unanswerable. But Jonah prayed in the belly of the whale, in the fire, they shall call upon me, and I will answer them. Do you know it? Precious power. To be in the fiery furnace and God answer you. I believe that in the hearts of many a child of God, in this little remnant, this third part, that the one thing they can mark and cannot deny before God, even though they may feel they know nothing, the one thing they can't deny before God is they've got one or two answers to prayer. Is that the beginning? They shall call upon me. They may be over natural things, but they shall call upon me and I will answer them. Have you got those answers? And finally, we come into the words here, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. I will say, here is the sealing of the Spirit, which all of God's children, as under his teaching, wait for, and are not satisfied until they receive it. They want definite evidence, God speaking to them, and calling them his people. And they want to be able, under that sealing, to say, the Lord is my God. To be able to say, Abba Father. Dear Anne Steele put it beautifully in her hymn. In the sacred exercise of her soul, she said, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. Well, in her dying hours, and I have a photocopy of the diary at home that her niece wrote when she stood by her aunt's bedside, Anne Steele, her dying words were, as recorded in that diary, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And in the church, the minister that preached after her death quoted those words that she had uttered. I know that my Redeemer liveth. She wrote that lovely hymn, my God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. The day came, in the 12th hour, as it were, in this lovely prophecy, at eventide, it shall be thine. Beautiful word. For her, the eventide was the hour of light. When she entered into the fullness of this blessed word, I will say, they are my people. That is Christ. And they shall say to Christ, thou art my God. Oh, blessed mercy, when the Lord brings us to that place. It's the place where God comes to his people. They can't come to him. They have to wait, like Queen Esther did, for the king to extend the scepter of mercy. And this is the extension of the scepter of mercy. I will say, they are my people. That's the third part, who have been brought through the fire. And they shall say, thou art my God. I tell you, that is a place where all God's dear children must come. They must be brought there, ready to depart. When they come there, they will be ready to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. A ray of sweet hope. Here is manifestation. It is as though the gold and silver having come through the refining furnace and the trying furnace that tries the reality of what it is, then has the hallmark put on it. And this is the hallmark. And we read of it in the book of the Revelation. His name shall be in their forehead. And they shall see his face. They won't carry what the book of the Revelation speaks of, the mark of the beast. They will carry these dear children, tried and tempted, through the fire being brought by Christ. They will carry his mark. He is the great assayer in that day. He will decide and put that mark upon them. Come ye blessed will be what they will hear. Enter ye in to the joy of your Lord. Oh dear friend, we need that mark upon our forehead. We need this divine revelation in our heart. We need the Lord to come to us. Bring us through the fire and say to us that we're numbered amongst his people. Then in that great day, when flesh and heart fail, it will be to be at peace with God. Then we shall pass the valley singing the honours of our God. Then we shall truly be able to say, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all them that look for his appearing. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Amen.